chapter 5, book of Mark, chapter 5. Again, Matthew and Luke also record this event, Matthew chapter 9, Luke chapter 8. We move on to another one of the miracles of Christ, this regarding the daughter of Jairus, and very closely connected with the miracle that we just looked at, the woman with the hemorrhage of blood. In Mark chapter 5, we'll read verse 21 through verse 24. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, that was following the exorcism of the demon-possessed man of Gadara, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. He besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And then in verses 25 through verse 34, we see as they're making their way to the house, that's where we read of the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. She comes upon the scene. Jesus heals her. Jesus is speaking to her in verse 34. He said, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Behold thy plague. And then we pick up again in verse 35. While he yet spake, that is, while Jesus was speaking, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house. Again, they're on their way to his house, and one comes from the house and saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, that is, saith unto Jairus, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered or permitted no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he put them all out, he taketh the father, which is Jairus, and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So we see, following the exorcism that took place in Gadara, Jesus and the apostles get in a boat, they cross the Sea of Galilee, they arrive at the other side, and a multitude of people at that time gathered unto Jesus. We see that in Mark 5 and verse 21. Much people gathered unto him. Notice in Luke chapter 8 and verse 40, they not only gathered unto him, but we see when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. So the people saw Jesus cross over to Gadara. During that time, they're waiting anxiously for Jesus to return. Jesus and his apostles now return to the other side, and here's this multitude of people that were anxiously awaiting for Christ to come. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all draw particular attention to a certain man that was in this multitude. And notice in Matthew chapter 9, there's one word in particular that we want to notice in each of these verses. In Matthew 9 and verse 18, while he spake these things unto them, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her. Notice, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler. Mark says in Mark 5 and verse 22, and behold, again there's that word, behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And then Luke, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 41 says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in drawing our attention to this man, they all say, behold. And that is a word that is used to introduce something that is surprising, to introduce something that is extraordinary, something momentous, something uncommon. Behold. It is a word calling us to give serious thought to what follows. It is a word calling us to give serious consideration and attention to whatever it is that follows that word. So we see, behold, there came. This is the amazing thing, that Jairus came to Christ. And then, of course, what's amazing after he came is what took place. But the very fact that this man came to Christ is something to give serious consideration to. Now, we see that he came to Christ on behalf of his sick daughter. And as Jesus and the multitude were headed to the house of Jairus, there was an interruption. The interruption was this woman with the flow of blood. She interrupted the whole proceeding to the house. And we don't know how long all of that took, but it took some time. And so this was an interruption, not in God's plan, but in the mind of Jairus, no doubt this was an interruption that he could not afford. And there are many lessons to be learned from that. But let's look at the case and the example of this man. First of all, his position causes Matthew, Mark, and Luke to use the word behold. He was a very prominent individual. He was a prominent man of Capernaum. Matthew refers to him as a certain ruler. He had some authority. He had power. He had influence. Mark refers to him as one of the rulers of the synagogue. There were several rulers in the synagogue. He was one of those rulers. And Luke writes, he was a ruler of the synagogue. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record this man's position in life. He was a ruler in the synagogue. He held a very high position. Being a ruler in the synagogue would mean that certainly he was a man that was well known among the people. He was a man of prestige. A lot of people would look at him and admire him and admire his position. He was a man of power. He was a man, again, who had some authority. He was a man who had some influence. Therefore, his daughter is referred to in Mark chapter 5, verse 39, verse 41, and verse 42. His daughter is referred to as a damsel, which is a young unmarried woman. We've already seen from one of the Luke's account or Mark's account here that she was 12 years old. But it means that she was a young unmarried woman of noble birth. Of noble birth. So the very fact that she's called a damsel tells us something about Jairus. He was a noble man. He was a very important man. Now, we see here, as we see examples of this every day in our lives, the rank, the fame, the prestige, the power, the influence of this man could not prevent his daughter from getting sick, could not prevent his daughter from dying. And that is so true today. And God reminds us of this all the time. When the rich and famous die, when the rich and famous have tragedies in our life, God is reminding us loud and clear, none of these other things matter. None of these other things are going to prevent certain things from happening in our lives. They do not have the power to prevent this. Now, certainly, just like any one of us, if Jairus could have prevented this, he would have. If he could have just spent money, if he could have just used his influence to prevent this, certainly he would have done that. But these things have no power concerning sickness and death and tragedies entering into our life. So Jairus had a burden. He had a great need. Though he was a man of power, though he was a man of influence, though he was a man of prestige, and though he was very well known in Capernaum, he had a burden. None of these other things could prevent this burden. And he had a great need. He had a need that was far beyond his ability. He had a need that was far beyond his possessions, far beyond his position. Now, both Mark and Luke record that the daughter of Jairus was 12 years old. Some have very foolishly built the doctrine of the age of accountability on that statement, that this girl was 12 years old. Therefore, 12 years old, a person becomes accountable for their sin. That's one of the most ridiculous beliefs that a person can have. And if that's all you have to base it on, is that statement that this girl was 12 years old, that's foolish. Getting off track here, but if the age of accountability, first of all, I don't believe in such a thing, but if the age of accountability is 12, I'm going to pray one of two things concerning my children. Save them before they're 12, or kill them. I mean, if I really believe that, that's what any concerned parent would pray. I mean, it gets closer to 12th birthday, you begin to pray earnestly. Lord, if you're not going to save them, please take their life. No one does that. Again, I'm getting off track. But this girl is 12 years old. Well, why are we told that she's 12 years old? Well, I believe there's a reason for that, no doubt. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? How long did she have that
flow of blood, 12 years. Remember, she gave testimony, and in her testimony, no doubt she referred to the fact that she'd been sick for 12 years, and for 12 years she'd gone to physicians. Jairus heard her whole testimony, and all of this was to strengthen the faith of Jairus. Jairus had to be thinking, 12 years, that's when my girl was born. That's when my daughter was born. If he could heal her, he can heal my daughter. Again, the Lord's using all this to strengthen his faith, and we're getting way ahead of ourselves. But Jairus had a burden. His girl is 12 years old. We see that Luke says, notice in Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8 and verse 42, he adds something that the others do not tell us. But Luke 8 verse 42, for he had one only daughter. He had one only daughter. She's 12 years old, and it's his only daughter. It's his only daughter. Again, we're speaking of the burden and the need. So this only daughter of Jairus became ill. Now, everyone gets sick from time to time, but this was different, because Mark writes in Mark 5 verse 23 that she was at the point of death. This isn't just a cold. She's at the point of death. And Luke writes in Luke 8 and verse 42, she lay a dying. She was lying there and she was dying. And no doubt they had tried everything they could. But it became clear at some point to Jairus that without divine intervention, his daughter was going to die. And even, I've been in emergency rooms many times, and even the most ungodly, when they realize, come to the realization that their child is going to die, they may have no use for a preacher. They may have never had any use for a preacher. They may have cussed the preacher, but they'll say, please pray. Pray. And there's a burden, there's a need. And Jairus is a ruler of the synagogue. And he now has a tremendous burden. In fact, Matthew says, notice in Matthew 9, verse 18. Notice about the middle of the verse. Jairus comes and said, my daughter is even now dead. She wasn't yet dead, because the ruler of the people from the house of Jairus would come later and say, thy daughter is dead. And the others have recorded that she lie a dying. But Jairus, Matthew says, my daughter is even now dead. In other words, in the mind of Jairus, she was as good as dead. There was nothing he could do. The only thing that would save her would be a miracle. And when he said, my daughter is even now dead, what he's saying is the case is hopeless. And I am helpless. So he has this burden. He has this need. He is part of the multitude. The multitude is waiting for Christ. They no doubt all, as Christ began to get off of the boat, they all began to move toward Christ. But Jairus did so differently, because only of Jairus are we told that he came. He came. So he came in a different way than all the rest. Again, Matthew records, and again, the fact that he came The people in that multitude had many reasons for waiting for Christ. But the fact that we are told that Jairus came means that he was seeking. He was seeking Christ. They were all waiting, but they weren't all necessarily seeking. He was seeking. He was seeking because he had a burden. He was seeking because he had a need. He was seeking because he believed that Jesus Christ could heal his daughter. So Matthew says there came a certain ruler. Mark again records, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. And Luke records, there came a man named Jairus. So this man was seeking Christ, and he was seeking Christ on behalf of his daughter. But he was not only seeking Christ on behalf of his daughter, he was seeking Christ on behalf of himself as well. Anytime, if your child's sick and your child's dying, and you seek the Lord on that child's behalf, let's be honest, you're also seeking the Lord on your behalf as well. Because you're sad. And so, yes, he was seeking Christ on behalf of his daughter. But he was also seeking Christ on his own behalf. But in his seeking of Christ, keep in mind, our attention has, all three writers have focused upon the fact that this man is a ruler. And he is a ruler of the synagogue. He belongs to the religious elite of Christ's day. And it was the religious elite of Christ's day that was at constant war with Jesus Christ. And as you read through the Gospels, you see that Christ had very little use. And Christ had nothing good to say about the religious world of his day. Christ was very intolerant of the religious world of his day. The fact is, Christ had more tolerance for those who were not part of the religious world than he had for those who were of this religious world. And this man was part of that religious world. But in coming to Christ, because the religious world hated Christ, this man publicly coming to Christ shows that he was willing to risk and sacrifice everything. He was willing to risk and sacrifice his place, his position, his status in the community. He's willing to risk and sacrifice it all. Those things now meant nothing to him. The number one thing right now is his daughter. Nothing else mattered. And the truth is, we have to get to that place before we'll truly seek Jesus Christ. Because as long as there are other things, we'll cling to other things. And God's people have a terrible habit of having a backup plan. Just in case the Lord doesn't come through, we got this backup plan. And the truth is, they put more faith in the backup plan than they do the Lord. Jairus had no other plans. He's seeking Christ, and he knows that if Christ doesn't do something, there is no other plan. And he's willing to risk everything. He's part of the religious elite, and he was not ashamed for everyone to know in that multitude that he would seek Christ on behalf of his family. And that is the best thing you can do for anybody in your family. Seek Christ on their behalf.
nothing better you can do. Because, and many times, people in family, people in churches as well, if you're seeking Christ on their behalf and that's all you're doing, you're not physically helping them, oh, you don't care, you're not doing anything. There's nothing more that we can do than seek Christ. There's nothing more loving than that, than to seek Christ on behalf of someone. People say, well, Jairus, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do for your daughter? You need to try this. You need to try this. Have you tried this? And Jairus says, I'm going to seek Christ. Best thing you can do. Because of the opposition that Christ was facing from the religious world, it took courage for Jairus to seek Christ. And it takes courage to seek Christ, whether it be for yourself entirely or whether it be for someone you love. It does take courage to seek Christ. We see that he came personally to Jesus Christ. He came visibly. Everyone in that multitude could see that Jairus came to Christ to plead. And everyone in that multitude, you can be sure, knew who he was. He was a ruler of the synagogue. They all knew him. And there he is. He is now going to plead with Jesus Christ. And we'll stop there and continue next week.